Welkom bij de leiderschapspodcast van City Life Church. Dit is Leadership Talks.
Hello again, back to our leadership podcast, Leadership Talks. We do this every fourth Tuesday of the month, this time in English again, because this is part two of my talk with Mario. He is pastoring a big church in Lisbon and in Portugal, around 3,000 people there in attendance and 8 different locations. We've talked about that a bit the last time. You shared a few very strong, good points on building culture last episode. Now I want to zoom in a bit more on leadership, building leadership, teams. It's an art, isn't it? It's an art, building leadership teams.
Hello, Errol. It's good to be back here for the podcast.
Yeah.
It's vital to build teams. Yeah. We cannot build anything significant alone. We need a team. Everybody needs a team. And building a team, it's a lot of work. It's hard work. It's not a thing that you do, with a blinking of the eye. Like, you know, one day for another, I have a team. That's not true. It takes time. Yeah. And it takes effort, and he has a price attached as well. So, but no one can build nothing significant without a team. Yeah.
And I'm sure pastors and leaders are watching this. We all need more people, more volunteers, more leaders around us. So building a leadership team, building a culture of leadership, by the way, it's a big challenge. I hope you can give us a few keys. What are you... First, let's start with this one. What are you looking for in leaders or potential leaders?
I always look for two main things. Two main things to choose a leader or to appoint a leader or to invest in someone that I believe that can become a leader. The first thing is the ability to build teams. So I don't need a leader that is very skilled on doing stuff and doing things, which is important, but is not the main thing I look forward. It's not the main thing that I look or try to find out in a person. The main thing is to see if he has the ability to build teams. Because if I choose a leader to lead a ministry, a department, or whatever, he can be very good on do it, but if he's not aware of the importance of building a team, I will have problems in the future.
Yeah.
Because the ministry, the department, or whatever, will become dependent, exclusively dependent on him.
Yeah.
If he fails,
yeah.
If he leaves,
he's sick.
If he's got sick, yeah. So
nothing happens.
Nothing happens anymore, yeah. And I have a problem.
Yeah.
So first of all, I look for people that have the capacity to build a team, and also the capacity and the awareness of the importance of building a team, because there are people that they think because they are good doing, they are the right person for the job.
Yeah.
And that's not true. They are great and can be the best doing, but if they don't build a team, in my perspective, is not the right person for the job. And the second thing is the ability to do more with the things we already have. A leader that can do more with the things we already have. In other words, a leader of innovation, a creative leader. Because this is very crucial. Innovation is not having things that no one else has. It's not having new things. You know, there's people that think, well, if I have new things, if you give me more money, if you give me more material, if you give me more resources, I can do more innovative things. That's not true. Because innovation is doing what no one else is doing with the things that everybody have.
Yeah, it's the same things, doing more with the same things.
Yeah, it's like music. It's like music. You know, we have millions of musics, millions of musical compositions, you know, millions. But every single song, you know, we have millions of people that have written songs, songwriters everywhere in the human history, but every single one with just 7 notes.
Mm.
The secret is to use in different ways.
Yeah.
It's the same in leadership. A good leader is not the leader that are, you know, knocking on your door, asking for more, I need more this, and I need more money,
more people. More, yeah.
The great leader is the leader that can do more with the things they already have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, 2 things. Leaders that can build a team, and leaders that can do more with the things they already have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah. So you have, I guess, a big part of your time in the weekdays is leaders meetings. Is that right? But
conversations.
Yeah. And do you you have meetings, team meetings, and you have one-on-ones? I guess.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what do you do on those one-on-ones? We know it's important. You do certain things in your group and certain things in one-on-ones. But can you share a bit on how that works for you? What is something to look for to consider?
I don't have like a strict plan of I will do this week always 2 meetings with leaders and then 5 one-on-ones. No. But I always have the purpose of when we need to or evaluate it or make decisions for the future to gather the leaders. But for me, the one-to-one, you know, is more building the life, not just the things we are doing, but the life, you know. So most of those one-to-one gatherings are informal, completely informal. Just having a coffee or having lunch together, talking about life. And you know, when we share the same passion, let's say for church, if we're going to have lunch together, of course we talk about church, not because it's our work, but because it's our passion. And that's for me the key separation line between workers and leaders. Because leaders, they don't do because it's their job, they do because it's their passion.
Yeah.
And you can find that in the informal conversation. Of course, if it is a formal meeting, he has to talk about the things because it's their job.
His job, yeah.
But in an informal conversation, we can talk about holidays, we can talk about sports, we can talk about politics, and that's good. But church is always present because it's our passion.
It's our passion, yeah.
And when you have someone on your leadership team and when you have the opportunity to share time with him and church never came to the conversation, something is not, you know, it's not
you
good.
Start to ask, where's the
never.
Passion? Eh?
You know, never.
Yeah.
You know, of course we don't talk about church every time and all the time. But it's something on the conversation that immediately connects to our passion.
Yeah.
For example, we go let's have a time together and go for a walk or go for a ride or go in the car, you know, to a coffee near the beach, have a conversation. And on the way, we are talking about sports or politics or whatever. And on the way, we see like a big auditorium or theater, and we say, well, that's good for church. Or, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Church is always here because it's always
your passion.
Here. So That's the dynamic between the leadership meeting, which is more, let's say, I'm not sure if this is the right word, but more formal. We have to talk about things, we have stuff to do, we have things to decide. So everybody knows that we are there for that purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody will talk about sports or because
we are not there for that. Yeah. We are there for leadership.
Yeah.
Things. But in the one-for-one, more formal, is where when you find more
the passion
of the person. Yeah, yeah. People sometimes, I heard this one, people follow you first before they follow your vision.
Yeah.
Because there's this moment of connection with you as a person, your passion, your inspiration, and then they will follow you because of who you are, and then they will follow your vision.
Yeah.
We talked about culture last time. Now I want to zoom in a bit more on vision because that's also very, very important. Vision casting is another art. And probably you're very good at that because you have a big, big work in Portugal and growing. So can you give us one or two keys of vision casting for as a leader, as a pastor, as a team leader? What is important? I know it's an open question, but...
Well, there's a lot of things that we can talk about how to communicate or casting vision. Mm-hmm. But I would say... not saying that they are the more important, but for me, two that I really pay attention to them. First of all is clarity. Sometimes we can cast the vision full of noises. You know, it's not clear. It's, very noisy, a lot of shadows. And try to be as clear as you can on your communication. If it's not clear, ear, wait a little bit more. Because if it is not clear ear and ear, when you communicate, will not be clear for people as well. And then sometimes people they stay a little bit frustrated because, well, they are not catching the vision. Well, they are not catching the vision.
But they try to, maybe.
You don't catch the vision also, because it's not very clear to you. So
make sure that it's clear ear and ear, and make sure that your communication is clear. Because when we cast vision in one day, let's say, in one night, vision night, whatever, we are casting vision. But we have been thinking about that vision for a long time.
Mm. Yeah.
So for us, it's not new. Mm-hmm. But for the people, will be new. Yeah. So make sure that your communication is clear and simple, that everybody understands. That's why the Bible says, write the vision, big letters, everybody
can see it. Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about clarity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So make sure that the vision you cast
is simple and very, very,
understandable for everybody, not just for your core team.
Mm.
But if you are casting for the church, make sure in your church, you have to be aware that in your church you have
all kinds of people in different levels of
thousands of people in your
faith life. So
make sure that if anyone comes to church this day or this or tonight, they will understand. They can agree or disagree,
but they will understand.
Yeah.
The thing is, many pastors, many leaders, they try to use their communication to make everybody
agree with them. And that's, for me, that's a mistake.
The main purpose of your communication is not to try to make everybody agree with you, is try to make everybody understand
what you are saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes we put people in agreement with us,
but they don't understand fully what we are saying.
Mm.
And then later in the way, they will say, well, now I understand. Yeah, I don't want it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't get it on the beginning. So that's why for me it's more important that try to make everybody to come to an agreement with you is make clear.
Yeah.
Even if you have some disagreements, at least it's clear for everybody.
Mm. Understand. Mm. It's understand what you are saying, what you are casting.
So clarity is the first, and the second is consistency.
Consistency. See.
So you have to do it not just once, but consistency.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Mm.
So the second thing for me that is important to cast vision is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Do it every time.
Many times. Not just once.
No.
Many times.
They say it leaks. Vision leaks away if you don't.
And you come back to the vision often.
Yeah.
Talk about the vision often. Not just on a vision Sunday or on a vision event, but even in your preaching, and you can preach about praying, or you can preach about, you know, whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
but you can bring some aspects of the vision and cast the vision consistently, not just once in a while. Yeah. So those two elements for me are very important in casting vision.
Because you have thousands of people coming in the 8 different locations. It's a it's a challenge that all those people understand the vision.
It's a big challenge.
It's a big challenge. That's why clarity and consistently is very, very, very important to communicate the vision. Because, you know, if you share a vision in one night or in one special Sunday, what about the people that
come to church after after that?
So it's something that you...
Of course I'm not doing a vision night every month, but you can talk, you know, about the vision consistency every month in the preaching, in the DNA nights or in leadership. I don't know, but find a way to communicate the vision more often, because you are having people coming, new people coming, and not just new people coming. Even the people that hear the vision when you communicate the vision, sometimes they need time to think, and then hear again, and to make them, you know, more connected. And that's why it's important to communicate often.
Mm-hmm. Suppose, here we go, suppose I come to your church, I've seen a few churches, and I come to your church and I ask after the service to one of the team, what is the vision of this church, in brief, in short? What would the answer, what would be the perfect answer?
I'm sure the answer will be very short, like loving God, loving people, and help them to find their own way
to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Very, very, very simple.
I saw some vision statements and mission declarations that are almost, you need to have like 3 years of theology to
understand.
Which, I love theology and I love to study theology.
But, you know, the people in your church, they don't have the same level of, knowledge about theology. So keep it simple that the most educated theological people can understand, and also the people that is the first time is hear a Bible verse in church, but he can understand.
One of the things that your church is known for is the volunteers. Many volunteers you have working on Sundays, the events. Hillsong Conference is known for all the volunteers. So at the last few minutes we have, it seems like you're very good in recruiting, motivating volunteers. That's the big difference with a company, because a company pays salary. We don't pay nothing. We're all volunteers. So there's last few minutes. Recruiting volunteers, motivating volunteers.
I, to be honest, I really believe that this amount of volunteers that every, because it's not once a month or once in a while, it's every single week.
Yeah.
Come to help and to serve others is something supernatural. Just a heart touched by God can serve every single week without anything in return. So I really believe it's something that God breathed in His church and touched people's heart to serve. And another thing that I think is our obligation to do is to honor that. So look to the volunteers as something precious, not something that you take for granted.
They are volunteers. No. It's something really, really precious.
Every single Sunday, I ask for an applause for every volunteer serving. Every single one.
You mean like in the service?
Yes.
Oh.
Because I want to communicate that being a volunteer is a high thing in the kingdom of God. I don't ask for an applause for a big musician, a great music, great drummer, or let's give an applause for this great drummer or this great singer. No. And we have some great drummers and great singers in our church. But we don't give emphasis on that. But every single Sunday,
I ask for an applause for all the volunteers.
All the volunteers.
Because I want to,
you know, to honor this spiritual gift that God gives to us as church leaders, that are the volunteers. They are one of the best, you know, the best assets of a church are not buildings, are volunteers.
People that have the heart touched by God and they want to serve. This is supernatural. Yeah. So let's honor that and make, you know, visible our, you know, honor is always visible.
It's good.
Honor
is
always visible.
Yeah.
So, and there is other ways to honor. Of course, that's my way. It's asking for an applause.
Yeah.
And so, we should applaud just God. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, when we applaud the volunteers, we are applauding God because we know
that
only God can touch the heart of a person to serve a church.
You give so much time.
Every single week.
Yeah.
Non-stopping.
Yeah.
Without any visible benefits.
Thank you, Mario. Our time is up again. It's going very fast.
Thank you for
talking
having
to you.
Me.
It was a great honor, blessing, and pleasure. So thank you. We bless you, all that you're
thank
doing
you,
in Portugal and beyond.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Hoop u, dan kan ik weer naar het Nederlands. Volgende maand zijn we er weer met een nieuwe episode. Natuurlijk elke vierde dinsdag van de maand. Audio of video, wat je wil. En als je dit gaaf vindt wat we aan het doen zijn, deze interviews, deel het met vrienden en laat het ons weten. En ik zie je graag weer volgende maand.